Welcome to Cats Cast, a bi-weekly podcast delivering interviews, arts, culture, and history from New York's Catskill Mountains. On a late summer day in Roxbury, New York, we met up with the Delaware County Diggers, a group of metal detectorists who were invited to the property of the John Burroughs Woodchuck Lodge. The famous Catskills naturalist grew up on this property and returned in his elder years to the Woodchuck Lodge, where he hosted famous friends like Thomas Edison, Harvey Firestone, and Henry Ford. There's plenty of history here on the property, and with metal detectors in hand, Jason Schwartz, Chris Altman, and Kim Altman set out to see what treasures might lie just under the surface.
My name's Jason Schwartz. I'm from Walton, New York, originally from Trout Creek. We started Delaware County Diggers in 2017. I'm the board president for the Walton Historical Society. We love doing these sort of things, meeting new people, and we like doing talks for kids and just looking for things for people, historical places.
I'm Chris Altman with Diggers, and my wife and I are from East Meredith, New York. And we've been doing this about 12 years. Every year we go to England and do metal detecting over there, which is a lot of fun. In this hobby, we just love talking to homeowners and getting to know them better, and we've made a lot of friends through that.
I'm Kim Altman, and I've been digging probably about as long as Chris, although I started out digging his holes, and then I decided I needed to get a detector for myself. So I've had a lot of fun with it, and it's great fun to just get out in the fresh air and do something in nature and also find some amazing treasures.
I'd like to find something that even if it's not John Burroughs's in particular, just something that's Burroughs related to the family. That'd be pretty epic.
Just a few minutes into the day, Kim made a front lawn discovery.
So I just found something really cool here. I'm pretty much right in the left side of the house. I don't know if you recognize it, but it's part of a crotal bell, C-R-O-T-A-L, sleigh bell, jingle bell. And so this would have been worn by around the neck of an animal, or it would be on a sleigh back in the late 1800s, just so that you would know that a vehicle was approaching and it would jingle. So they're also called jingle bells. This is a small one. We've gotten them as big as like a baseball or a softball size. So this is pretty cool. This is definitely of his era. So I'm pretty excited about that.
The detectorists sweep the grassy earth with their metal detectors. And when the audible beeps signal something worthy of further investigation, they break out a shovel and a garret carrot.
So this is what's called a garret carrot. It's about the size and shape of a carrot. And it's orange, made by Garrett. They're the most well-known type of pinpointer. A pinpointer just helps us. We find it with the metal detector where we're going to dig approximately. And this, once we've had the hole open, just helps us get closer to it and do it really efficiently and quick.
And also when we're detecting these houses, if it's an 1800s house, we kind of know some of the objects we might find. Iron objects could be a horseshoe or an oxen shoe. We find a lot of harmonica reeds. We might find musket balls. When you're doing this long enough, you just kind of know the contemporary objects that people would have lost outside. We've even found mantle clock parts, gears and stuff like that, and I can never figure out why people had their clocks on their lawns. The most common utensil we find is spoons, and for every 100 spoons we find, we probably find one fork. So it's just odd, you know, that kind of a ratio on that.
It wasn't long into the day that Jason proved Chris's point.
This signal that I was getting here was very choppy. What we consider choppy, sometimes it could be iron, but now I see why it's choppy. It's all bent up, but we were talking when we first started how we'd like to find a spoon or something that was monogrammed. And lo and behold, like my fourth or fifth signal, and I got a spoon, but I don't see anything monogrammed on it. But it's definitely early 1900s. It's a teaspoon. But the reason why it was such a like a choppy, jumpy signal, it was all twisted by the roots. That's why it was all bent up. But I don't see anything monogrammed on it right now. It's definitely time period to what we're looking for. So that is cool to have a spoon John Burroughs could have used. That is so cool. This is so, I mean, we've only been here 10 minutes. I'm having a ball already. This is a lot of fun.
Later that day, the Delaware County diggers gave that spoon a good cleaning and discovered that, in fact, there were two initials monogrammed on the handle, a J and a B. John Burroughs died in 1921, and of course, he wasn't the last person to enjoy this property, as Kim's next discovery illustrates.
Huh, some sort of earring. It is an earring. I would say that's a modern one. A gold hoop with, like, white enameling.
Doesn't look like John Burroughs style.
No, it doesn't. That looks more like something from the 80s. But it's neat that we got some pottery shards there at the bottom. I would say those are, I mean, that's really thin. So that definitely would be from a china set. So that's it. And then, so to clean up, you always got to double check your hole, make sure you got everything. And then you want to make it look like you were never there. So you put the dirt back in, nice and neat. And then the little, making sure that's nice and set. And then on to the next.
I started out with a very cheap machine. It was probably, $80, $100, whatever it was. And it was actually a friend of mine from work let me borrow his machine and detector. And I went to the local park and I found a, 1940-something Mercury dime. And I was like, wow, this is cool. As I started finding a few more things with that $80 machine, I said, you know, maybe this can become a little bit more of a hobby. Then I went out and bought a Ace 350, and that was like a $200-something machine. And I started finding more things, and I found, I got my first permission to actually go metal detect, and I started finding some really cool old, not only just coins, relics. It was at an old school in Walton, and I was finding some really amazing things, and the homeowner was appreciative, and that's how I got involved with the Walton Historical Society. And then from there, I upgraded to what I have now, which is the Garrett AT Pro.
When we first started detecting, we got a Bounty Hunter, which is probably the lowest level machine. It's like, $100. And we were hunting a field. There had been some relics coming up, but we didn't really think we were going to find anything. The problem with the low-end machines is they pretty much beep for any kind of metal that's in the ground. So you're going to find a lot of iron, and a lot of beginning detectorists get a little frustrated with that until they upgrade. A few years later, for Christmas, Kim bought me a higher level detector. It was a Weitz XLT. And we were detecting on my dad's property in the Catskills. There had been old logging trails and an old schoolhouse on the property. And I got a pretty good signal, and it was an 1817 large cent. It was an incredible find, and it was our first coin. And from that point on, Kim and I were totally hooked on the hobby. It's really amazing how one little object like that can totally change the direction of your life.
And we preach this. It's not just the shiny things that we get out of the ground, meaning coins. It's the artifacts you unearth. It's a spoon with the homeowner's engraving on it. Everything we find, we either give back to the property owners, or like, for today, we give it to them to put on display. You know, we're not in it for any money. We're not in it to make any sort of money. If they don't want it, we either keep it for our personal collection, or the stuff that I find personally, I put it on display at the Walton Historical Society.
When you buy an old house, the objects that the people used back in the 1800s and 1700s are still preserved under the ground. And you can find the old jewelry that people wore, an old Civil War button that a soldier wore, or stuff like that. So it's nice to keep these objects with the house. And people do put them in display cases, and they show people when they're having a party or whatever. And it's just really nice to tie it to that house and to have those interesting objects.
Some of the most meaningful discoveries can be tied to more personal connections.
I was on my dad's childhood home, and I got a pretty good signal. And it was one of those lead Native Americans from like the 1950s. And I showed it to my dad, and he said that was a toy I had played with. So I actually unearthed his toy. And the last person to have touched that was my dad, and the next person was me. So that was pretty exciting.
The key to do this is to try and get it out without getting too close, but just close enough. The soil's been pretty good, I'm surprised. Delaware County's known for having very rocky soil. Well, this may be not very interesting. OK. Okay, so that's just a piece of lead. Lead was pretty much the duct tape of the early 1900s, so you find that a lot. They would use it for everything from mending a pot to just roofing kinds of things, any place that you just needed to have something that you could bend and then use.
This is a good signal right here. I've been getting a lot of what we consider mid-tones, which are, you know, on the Garrett is like 40s to high 60s. But I have a signal here that is amazing. This signal right here, it's a nice signal.
While Jason digs, a quick word from our sponsors. The Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce, providing services to businesses, community organizations, and local governments in the Central Catskills region. Follow the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce on Facebook and sign up for a weekly email of local events at centralcatskills.org. And by the Catskill Center. Founded in 1969, the Catskill Center is committed to the protection and preservation of the environmental, cultural, and economic resources of the Catskills. They believe that the vitality and prosperity of the Catskills depends on wise stewardship of our natural resources, thriving local communities, and robust collaboration with others. Their work includes the Catskills Visitor Center, two public land preserves, advocacy for the Catskills in Albany, regional collaboration, natural resource protection, and more. Learn more about the Catskill Center and become a member to support their work in the Catskills by visiting catskillcenter.org. Now, back to that hole.
Oh, and it's just a modern dime. It's just a modern dime, unfortunately, but I've been hearing not very many higher signals, so hey, at least there's higher stuff here.
Metal detectors emit different tones for a variety of metals, low-pitched tones for iron, for example, and higher frequencies for silver or brass.
Now, this was coming up in the mid-60s.
10 cents richer, Jason pursued a lower tone and found something more historically significant.
It could be a pull tab, some sort of aluminum, but this was coming in the mid-60s. It was saying about 2 inches down, maybe three, and it was probably close to, probably about 5 inches down. I think it's a buckle. Oh, no, yes, it is a buckle, and it is old. This probably dates at least mid to late 1800s. This is cool. This is really cool. This definitely dates to when John Burroughs was here. But yeah, this is really cool.
There's a lot of good iron artifacts out there. The early colonists and the blacksmiths were making all kinds of early tools and things like that. And, you know, it sounds corny, but those things really built our country. And those are nice artifacts to have, just as important as an old coin. One thing when you're metal detecting on a property or in a field or whatever, you try to determine where the high traffic areas might have been, along walkways, next to cars, where cars would have pulled in, or little hills where people would have sat for lunch and lost objects. You're always trying to determine that. Jason's getting a lot of signals over in that corner, so that could have been their little outdoor get-together spot. I think Jason's in a pretty good area.
A bit more beeping and digging, and Chris called us over to see another dime, this one a bit older than Jason's.
This is a mercury dime, and a lot of people are probably familiar with it. It's a beautiful design on this coin. I don't like the designs of the new coins. I liked when they used Lady Liberty. They've used Lady Liberty for years and years, since the 1790s. And even the Indian head penny is Lady Liberty in a headdress. It's not a man. But the mercury dime, it's fun when you get to the bottom of the hole and you see silver peeking out. It is a little treasure that you've just unearthed.
Watching the Delaware County diggers at work, there's a great deal of collaboration and teamwork. There is also an undercurrent of competition and a point system, adding one more layer to the day's challenge.
2 or 3 years ago, Chris made this really cool trophy out of different things that he found. We were basing it off of finding what they call large cents. Large cents were before mid-1850s and older. And every time you found a large scent, you would get a point. A half scent would be a half a point. And I was, for 2 or 3 years, I was kicking their butt. And towards the end of last year, I got thinking of it. You know, I said, you know, let's start including silver coins and just kind of give it a little more competition when we go out. You know, like a silver Rosie dime would be a half a point. A Barber dime or a Mercury dime would be a point. And its scale would go up. And then if you get into the large cents would be 2 or 3 points. Half cents would be a little bit higher points. British coins and 1700s U.S. coins would be more. Reals, Spanish reals, they don't come out of the ground very often. Those are like the big points. So when we go out, it's just a little fun competition. I mean, yeah, like I said, we're, you know, saving the history. But you got to have fun when you're out here during the day. I mean, you're out sweating your butt off in 90-degree heat. You got to give a little jab at each other. So, you know, we have signals, you know, a silver coin's a thumbs up, copper coin's a, like a moon shape that we go. It's just different things that we have, especially when you're in a field. You know, obviously you're watching each other detecting, and we all go in separate directions. But then if you notice somebody's in the one spot in one area, they, especially Chris, he'll start migrating towards you a little bit and knowing that you're finding stuff. So, because you're not moving from that spot. And that's what happened today. He kind of meandered over a little bit to where I'm detecting. But hey, it's fun. It's where we're finding stuff. It's a lot of fun. You know, we're enjoying ourselves. We're finding some really cool stuff. So this is just a lot of fun.
Chris signals us over for another find, this time a nickel and a story.
So I just found a Liberty V nickel. It has Liberty on one side with stars, and then it has a Roman numeral V on the other in a wreath. First you had the Shield nickel, and then the Liberty V nickel, and then the Buffalo nickel, and then Jefferson. When these first came out, it had the V on the back, but it didn't have the word sense. So some individuals thought it would be cool to plate these in gold and use it as a $5 gold piece. The government did catch on eventually. The second year of this coin, they put on the word cents, so they weren't able to do that anymore. But this is definitely in John Burroughs' time frame. He could have carried this. It would be late 1800s to early 1900s. So that's a great find, even though I kind of put a little line through Liberty there. But it's still a nice coin.
Toward the end of the day, the Delaware County diggers crossed the country road separating Woodchuck Lodge from an old apple orchard. And more beeping, digging, and identifying.
Ground isn't much easier on this side of the road.
When settlers first set up homesteads and things, the government said you have to plant an apple orchard because that meant, you know, they were going to stay and they were committing to the land. So that's why you'll see apple orchards near some of the older homes. And of course, apple trees aren't native to the United States. They're from Russia, actually. Back in the day, the apples were not really used for pies as much. They were used for making hard cider.
It's tough digging down here. You get your workout, that's for sure. I got a couple of flat buttons. They're not very big. And I got a cool piece of iron. It is hard digging. There's a lot of rocks. But there's stuff down there. All kinds of stuff, but a lot of rocks.
At the far end of the orchard, Kim found one more coin. And we peeked over her shoulder as she attempted to identify it.
It's nickel size. It's got a darker patina, so I'm suspecting that it's like what Chris found up there, like a Liberty V. Could be a Shield nickel. Could be a token too, but I don't think so. A lot of times with these copper coins, they don't come out looking so great. If you just let them dry a little bit, the detail will start popping out. To be identified.
On our way out of the orchard, Jason showed us a small piece of silver he'd found, engraved with a name. Not John Burroughs, but a Dr. Barris. Dr. Clara Barris, in addition to her own accomplishments as a medical doctor and author, was John Burroughs' official biographer, literary executor, and longtime companion. This artifact, along with bells, buckles, buttons, and yes, spoons, can be found on the Delaware County Diggers Facebook page and will be put on display for future visitors to Woodchuck Lodge in Roxbury, New York. Check out Chris Altman's book, From the Ground Up, Musings of an Upstate Metal Detectorist, at fromthegroundup.shop. For more on the John Burroughs Woodchuck Lodge and to make a donation toward its preservation, visit jbwoodchucklodge.org. Cat's Cast is a production of Silver Hollow Audio. Please don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks. I'm Brett Barry. Thanks for listening.